Blog Talk Radio.
In only a moment, truth was seen. Reveal this mystery. The crown that showed no dignity he wore. And the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace, but only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Hear the weight of impurity the Father would not see. Reason to finally come to be to show the depth of his grace. Bloom with every sinner racing new that this was why he came. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? And the veil was torn so we could have this open door, and all these things have finally been complete. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand?
Revival. We all know that the Lord is getting us all together and building that end time revival. We got revivals popping up all over the United States, all over the world, all over Israel. I mean, revival is coming to this world. The Lord is coming, and we're expecting him soon. And the power of God is coming across this planet. And I'm telling you, you know, there's something to be reckoned with, that the enemy is falling to the gates of hell, and the Lord is standing up and bringing his armies forward, and it's a great day in the Lord. Amen. How you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Doing good. How you doing, great.
Chuck? Doing good, man.
How you doing, Chuck? Amen. Amen. I saw you just slid in there, man. That's great, man. I'm glad you can join us.
But, man, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
There you go. We're all here. We're going to talk about the end time revival. And, you know, we all got a little something to say about that, but we're going to go ahead and start this interview with Art Montgomery. And I'm going to hand it over to him and let him talk about his Blood and Moon revival. How did that go, Art?
Well, it really went good. I did my first tent meeting
here in San Diego, I've been kind of we had a vision one day. I was doing a tent meeting at the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico, and we had a vision there. And he said, "Well, I think we ought to do a tent meeting in San Diego." I said, "I've never seen one." So I said, so we decided to do one. And we had some great words from different people, prophets, that came up and gave us the word that we should do it, because the tent, Kenneth Copeland, the night I got my tent, I went to a meeting of his, and he said, "This is the tent anointing is back." The very night that I got my tent to do the tent revival. And so I kind of claimed that word. And so when we did our tent revival, there hadn't been one in San Diego. Nobody can remember the last one. And God provided the free land and everything. So when we got there, not doing our tent revival before and how it would go in San Diego, we weren't sure. But I was sure that God wanted us to be there. So when we got there, I mean, every single night, I'm telling you, standing guys, the power of God hit that tent. It was so amazing. That tent anointing was there. No matter who we prayed for, no matter what we did, the miracles just flew out. The presence of God was heavy. People were busting. And what I thought was amazing, that people, all I prayed for, they got, I got women with their sight back first time I really got a clear sight. You know, a lady came up to me and she says, "Art, I cannot read without my glasses and then a magnifying glass of small print." And she didn't have her glasses on. And she said, "I'm going blind in my eye." And I said, "Oh, interesting." And so I says, "Okay," I prayed for her. And then, because I prayed for her, I made myself go in my pocket and pull a business card. And I said, "Read the small print." And without her glasses, she read the small print. And she was actually whacked. And so, but I was getting miracles, and I mean supernatural deliverances, and people with Parkinson's disease were getting healed. And I mean bad Parkinson's disease. Demons were coming out of people, screaming, and people in the hospice were coming up and getting free. But the anointing went to everybody that was praying, because I had a team, because I had so many people coming for prayer. I have teams of people, and they were getting just as big as miracles as I was getting. So the tenth anointing was there, and new anointings were popping out with people. They had never ever happened before. They were getting new anointings, new breakthroughs. So it was, and the people just absolutely loved it. They were there, so it was really, really, really good.
That's awesome. Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of.
Hey, so how did the Lord go about, like, how'd you get the tent? Could you just maybe get some testimony? Did y'all have to, was there one that you knew of, or did you rent one?
No, actually, a friend of mine asked this lady, and she called up and said, "Yeah, you can use my tent for free." And that was the very night that I went to this Kenneth Copeland Commission. I usually don't go to Kenneth Copeland, but somehow I was drugged there. And that was the first night he got up publicly and announced that the tent anointing is back. And so I was, the very night I got that, so I was really kind of freaked out. And I was jumping up and down, because I knew nobody else, that whole 900 people in that meeting, we got a tent that night. So I was pumped.
That's awesome. That's awesome how that just happens like that. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question. Like, when you feel like you get something and you want to run with it, how do you apply your faith in that situation? Like, as far as just going after the Lord, do you just kind of hold it before the Lord, or can you talk about that a little bit?
No, I love to, because I'm kind of known for that. I think it was only about two months or maybe a month and a half I got that word, and I decided I was going to do a tent deal. And my pastor's wife got up, and she was kind of really nervous. She said, "Art wants to do a tent revival." and do it on Easter week, and I thought he was talking about next year. But he's doing it this year. And it messes a lot of people up. But I've always done this. If I find God something, I'm moving. I'm just going to get up and start moving. And if I find life on a person's word, I just say I'm doing it. I mean, I did my first beach. I used to do a lot of beach outreaches, and I'd have like 18,000 people at these beach outreaches. I mean, just freaked out. And the first guy walked by at a funeral, and I was kind of weird funerals for a pastor, and everybody was sad. And he walked by and said, "I just got a vision, Art, of 100 FBI people run down the street, hands out flyers, says coming to a concert." And I said, "That sounds like God to me. You know, I believe that Sam's hair is beginning to grow." I said, "We're going to do a tent. We're going to do outreaches on the beach." And that was my first. And I never knew anything about it, but it grew to 18,000 every year. Radio stations would come and be it one of the biggest outreaches of Christians. And people want to know how I got it. But I hear a word from God, and I'll move on it. I really don't care what the circumstances. Somehow I'm going to do it, you know. And I'm kind of radical that way, and it's always worked for me in life. You know, I've made, even in my younger days, I made millions of dollars just doing that. I mean, millions of dollars. And I would hear a word from God. That sounded like God. I just get up and do it. And it's never, ever disappointed me. If there's life on it, I can hear it. I hear God's voice, and I just move, you know, and start just, and somehow everybody comes along with me.
That is so cool, man.
That's awesome, Mark. That's awesome, Mark. You don't give your brain enough time to talk. You just jump right on it, huh, man?
Right. And that's really, that's a good way to put it, Dad. I don't give my brain enough time to talk, because I'll talk myself out of it. You know, so I jump in and commit. And then once you've committed, you're kind of open your big mouth and you're in, you know. And so you can't get back out.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
You know what? That makes me think about, like kids and children in general. You know, like if you ask your kids to mow the grass, one of them might say, "I'm not mowing the grass." And the other one's like, "Okay, Dad, I'll get it," you know. But then the one that said he wasn't going to mow the grass is actually the one that cuts it, you know. So it's cool. I see in that, like, in faith, like some children will connect and be connected in their heart but be kind of disconnected in their head. And I think that growth and that walking with the Lord, no matter what, goes deeper than even sometimes what you say or you know. And I hear all the stuff about, like, you know, whatever you say, it affirms your faith and stuff. But that's just interesting to me, because we try to formalize a lot, which I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that. But that just kind of stood out in my head, you know. Just, it's all about that relationship even more so than all the formulas that we have. And that was just neat. I was just thinking about it. But
go ahead.
Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's just kind of a principle. I think what I do a lot of street ministry for, like, for 24 years. I've been in the streets. I just love being in the streets, because you got to hear a word. So if you hear a word on the street so fast, I found out I got so many miracles. If I never, I don't have time to analyze something, I just move on it. I find out that I get more miracles. This, when you sit back and you all this planning and analyzing and teams and stuff like this, I'm they're good. A lot of people do great things. It's never been my nature. I like to get here and do, here and do, here and do. And as quick as I hear, I jump on it. And I think I've always just found out that's where great miracles happen, you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now, Art, where did the Blood Moon Revival come from? Did you the Lord give you a vision about doing this Blood Moon Revival, or how did that come to you?
Well, what I'm kind of a little different than a lot of guys where that is, you know, I'm kind of in a two-way sequence. I've listened to Joseph Kahn and Mark Blitz and everybody's thinking, you know, this is it may be a time of real disaster for our country, but it also may mean there is a great revival coming. And you know, I'm okay with either one of them, really is, but I'm excited about the Blood Moon. I know something's changing. Hey, we're going to have a change. I look at our country today, and I see the way we're going in the natural is not good. But this is also the setup for all great revivals. Because when evil comes to death, God can really break revivals. And so when we start the Blood Moon, I know we've had these Blood Moons are coming about, and there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see something happen inside of this these four Blood Moons that are coming in. Things are going to change in the world because we look at if you look at Israel. If you look at the nation of Israel, even our country is turned against Israel, and they're selling it out. Presidents say they might even block him from being a nation in the United Nations. And prophetic word says that when the whole world comes against Israel, it's a sign of end times. Well, Israel cannot exist without the United States in the natural. Well, that means God's got to come in and save us. Is in the natural. I believe God's going to save us. God's going to do a revival because the sequence, if not, he's coming back one way or another. But he is going. So I might as well believe for revival. And blood moons if you look at blood moons, there's been 62 blood moons since Christ came on the earth. Was on there 62, but there's only been seven, which we call four blood moons in a row. Seven when there's just four blood moons over a two-year cycle. Now, there's only seven of those and that fall on the feast days. Now, the strange thing about the blood moons, they must fall on a feast day. And God said very carefully in Genesis 1, if you look at Genesis 1, 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmaments of the heaven, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, omens and warnings, and for seasons appointed feast and a fixed time, or for days or years. So God's put the heavens up there to show he's there, and it's a sign here. So the moon and sign, and Jesus says, you know, you know, Matthew 24, he said, you know, he goes on through it and lists like 11 things that you'll know we're near an end day type situation. And he says, and immediately after those troubled days, after those 7 days, there the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars from the sky of the heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Well, the devil's world's going to be shaken, I believe. And the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in heaven. So we know there's something coming. If Jesus says you ought to look at the blood moon, I mean, these are his words, and Genesis 14 says you ought to look for signs, I think we ought to look for signs. I'm not someone saying it may be a sign that God is coming back, but it may be a sign that there's going to be a great revival happening. Because in 1948, you had four blood moons that landed on the feast day. Blood moons are not really that exception of four in a row, but if they land on feast days, that's an exception. In fact, one person on the internet said it's like a million to one that four blood moons can land on two feast days in a row. You know, so yeah. it's a real rarity. So we have something real rare. And so I'm excited. 1948, they had four blood moons when Israel became a nation. 1967, we had four blood moons, and when Israel got their nation back, they took over Jerusalem. So those were on four blood moons, and so we had So now in this last year, we had four blood moons. In 2014, we had two full blood moons. And then on March 20th this year, we had a full solar eclipse. And that was the beginning of the Jewish New Year. And then on Passover Day, we had a full blood moon. And that was the night of my tent revival. It was we had the blood moon tent revival. So we were really pumped about that. And then in September this year,
It's
a super blood moon, not just a blood moon. It's a super blood. The moon is coming closest to the Earth, so there's something happening in the atmosphere, and I like to take advantage of stuff like that because it gets the non-saved world is really excited about this. They get me on the streets all the time. Says, "Art, what's this blood moon stuff?" I said, "Oh, blood moon." So it gives you an opportunity to talk to the world. Yeah.
Amen. Now, Art, I know that your way of praying for people is kind of unique sometimes. It's more of a deliverance like prayer. And can you talk about that?
Yeah. I'm a full gospel type of minister. You know, I believe you need to get them saved, you need to get them healed, and you need to get them delivered. You need to get them filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And I do this on the streets all the way it is. So when I pray for a person, you know, and I lead them even in the sinner's prayer, my sinner's prayer, the deliverance prayer, and it's a healing prayer. You know, and it's you get filled with the Holy Ghost and tongues. What I'll say, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, go through the stand and say, I repent of my sin. And then I say to them right away, I say, and I forgive all those who have hurt me in the past. Sometimes when I just tell them to say those words, they start coughing. And they go, I say, say it and you'll be free. And because if they don't forgive people, what I found out, they accept Christ, but there's a hardness of heart that never gets through. But you break in that forgiveness, and when they finish, they start crying sometimes, just on that one thing. And then I'll have them forgive themselves. And then I'll have them renounce all their generational curses in their life in the sinner's prayer. And then I'll have them start renouncing witchcraft, pornography, anger, bitterness. And I have a whole bunch of self-hate and things right there. And they'll start coughing and kind of almost puking right there, you know. So and then I'll lead them through the prayer to receive the Holy Spirit and get filled with tongues. So everything I do, even on my healing prayer, if you find me, I'll pray for you and I'll say, elbow be healed. Well, about the third time that ain't healed, I'll say, I'll just say quickly, in the name of Jesus, I want you to start coughing. And I'll tell them, cough three times, and I'll say, come on out in the name of Jesus. They start coughing up, and more times out than not, they say, man, it's gone. It's gone.
Amen.
Because it's deliverance.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, awesome. I think all healing is deliverance. You know, if you look at like, I think salvation is deliverance. You're getting them out of demons. But healing, you got the demon of infirmity. If it's a demon of infirmity, it isn't a blessing from God. So have them cough, get that out. And a lot of people want to know why I have them.
That's awesome, Art. Yeah. Healing is a form of deliverance, but there's some of them that goes a little deeper at times. And, I was talking to John George the other week or about a month ago, and we was talking to him about deliverance. He said he would have a minister that does healing, and he would pray for this guy, and he'd get healed. And then he'd come over to John, and John would do a deliverance, and the dude would start spitting up demons. And he says it's like he was just moving these things around, like they would leave one part of the body and go to another one, but the other one,
yeah.
the other part of the everybody was feeling good, the demon just moved. That's all it did. And he said, when you're doing deliverance, you're emptying them out from head to toe. You're just emptying the whole body where that illness completely move away instead of just moving around to the foot, to the head. You're just getting rid of all of them. And that's very awesome how you do your street ministry there, Art. I really, really see that's very important, some of the stuff that you do there.
Well, I think you're right. And Stan, I think you look at that, you know, because a lot of times you wonder if I'm ever getting through to anybody on that there. But, you know, I try to, because deliverance is controversial no matter what, you know, to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they, you know, you say I do deliverance or not. But it gets people free like nothing else. We had a gal that came to the tent meeting. And she had Parkinson's disease so bad, you know, had operation, shaking violently. Well, she really came for deliverance because she was so mad at God because she had Parkinson's disease. And as she got her deliverance, she was throwing up and doing everything like this. And then she finally got in and grabbed the microphone afterwards, and she was just like amazing. This woman could hold the microphone, and she could hardly stand up before. And free and dancing and everything. And I asked her afterwards, I says, hey, what'd you like more, your deliverance or your healing? And she says, deliverance by far. Because it sets her free, and the deliverance opened the door for the healing. But she was so bound up and angry. She said, I wanted to murder people. She had the spirit of murder all over her. You know, and it bound her up and got her sick. Pretty amazing.
Amen, amen. That's awesome. We're going to go to a song. We'll be right back with the interview with Art Montgomery. We'll be right back, folks.
Okay.
In only a moment, truth was seen. Reveal this mystery, the crown that showed no dignity he wore. And the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace, but only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? You're the weight on purity, the Father would not see. Reasons have finally come to be to show the depth of His grace. Bloom with every sinner race. He knew that this was why He came. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from His hand? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Yeah, we just don't know. Blood and water flow in and all he shows. Just how much he cares. And the veil was torn so we could have this open door. And all these things have finally been complete. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hand? Would you take the place of this man?
FBI, and you know, we've interviewed Art Montgomery on here before, and he's told his testimony and a lot about his background, but we're just coming together today and just talking about his Blood Moon Tent Revival, about End Time Revival, and we're all on fire about that, to hear a little bit about, you know, what's going on around the world. Now, Art, have you heard of any more revivals that's going around the world?
Yeah, you know, I really have gone in, and what I've kind of I come up to this, tell people what I've noticed a lot. You know, I have my saying, Jesus, I'm precious to you. You know, and I've been given that all over the world, and when I've been given that, I've noticed one thing. A lot of people, as soon as they get this and close their eyes, and you'll just have your audience do this, close their eyes right now, and I believe that they're going to see the feel the presence of God, and many people are going to get visions of Jesus when they say this. But the reason why I say this, because I get people all over the world telling me, the Muslims and the Hindus and atheists, when they say these words, they get full visions of Jesus. And Christians, too, they get full vision to Jesus, and Muslims accept, I don't know how many Muslims I led to Christ just because they got a vision of Jesus after saying, Jesus, I'm precious to you. And if they do this, and I think this is a sign of an end-time revival, that people all over the world are right now getting in, Jesus is coming and appearing to them. People are going to heaven now more than we've ever seen, and going up into the throne room. Jesus is coming and appearing to them. There's just some supernatural signs that come coming upon this earth, and I believe this is one of the signs that we're going to have revival even in the most ugly parts of this creation, where evil people, even maybe ISIS, they're starting to get a vision of Jesus, and there's nothing like an encounter. Stan, like if I tell you, I want you to read my gospel tract every day for 30 days. Well, you say, well, that's good. That's Art speaking. You might do it, you may not do it, but you're not really going to worry about it. But if Jesus appeared to you today and said, Stan, I want you to read Art Scott Montgomery Anointed Prayer Card every day for 30 days. You go, oh, my goodness. I mean, it has a little bit more impact.
You'd be like, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's not like Art doing it. So I believe what we're opening, what I believe this end-time revival is going to have started having the appearance of Jesus, and that's what I'm trying to ignite. You know, I'm trying to open up the door just with those words that God, because, hey, Stan, supposedly, like, I'm on the street, I do some radical healings. You do, too. And you guys are doing this all. But right now, it's not absolutely messing everybody else. They'll see it, they go right back and do what they want. But if you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you know, bang, look out.
Amen.
Is that the same thing? And so I believe it. You just have your audience right now. Everybody close their eyes and relax. And I believe some of you will get an appearance of Jesus. Some of you will at least get the contact with Jesus. Some people will start, it will ignite in your dreams. Jesus will start coming to you in your dreams. You'll start having visions of Jesus. You know, God appeared to Solomon, he said he did it in a dream. Well, when you have a dream about Jesus, that means God's appeared to you. It's not just like a dream. Man. Oh, man, that was a dream. It says that's how he appeared to Solomon, in a dream.
Amen.
So God can appear to you. So I believe this is just kind of a kickstart off into the supernatural, into that realm where God is coming back and doing an end-time revival. You know, there's a I don't know if you guys have heard this guy of what's his name? David E. Taylor. You know, he's wrote a book, Face to Face, and have visions and said everybody can have an appearance of Jesus. Jesus is appearing to everybody, and you'll see And so there's a he believes that the whole nations will one day wake up and be converted with just appearance of Jesus. They have an encounter.
Amen.
So there's something weird. Yeah. So everybody close their eyes. Let's do this, Dan. Everybody close their eyes and say these words.
Everybody close their eyes.
Jesus, I'm precious to you. Say that.
Jesus,
I'm precious
to you.
I don't know. Did anybody here get a vision of Jesus or anything like that? Any visions or just feelings?
Amen. Yeah, I saw. I've been looking at Jesus the whole time I'm doing this. So I've been looking at Jesus the whole time while I'm doing the show. I got pictures of Jesus all over my room, so I was there just looking at him while I'm doing the show.
I've done this to a lot of people, and there's nothing like an encounter with Jesus. It's like that's why we believe, you know, straight. Stan, I know you believe it too. When we get a person healed, he has an encounter with Jesus. It's not a theory; it's an encounter. You know, so let's just take it to another level. It's Jesus appearing to these people personally and setting up an end time revival like we've never ever seen it. You know. And our president, what about if Barack Obama had Jesus appeared to him in the Oval Office?
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, we got to pray for something like that because he needs a radical encounter, does he not?
Yeah, that would be real cool. I know a testimony that I had that I was your track center in Brenton, Florida. Me and Jason Wade was out doing some street ministry, and we was on the side of the curb, and we was praying for this one young African American, and he was sitting there, and he would not let us pray for him. So we actually gave him a track, one of your tracks. It says, "Jesus, I'm precious to you." And we was driving down the road, we just forgot about it, gave him the track, and there he was at the stoplight. We saw him look down at your track, and then we saw him jump. We thought, man, he must have had that in his. Then from then on out, I was calling it the Jesus grenade.
I should grab that when we just stand.
Yeah, we call that track the Jesus grenade because every time somebody would read it, it's like the Lord would smack them real hard, and they'd jump. We didn't get him at the curb, but Jesus got him at the stoplight. So it was pretty cool. Big Jesus was sitting there just looking at him and laughing and stuff. It was crazy, man. That works. I've used this track. I've used Jesus, I'm precious to you with boss men. I've used it with all type of people. And I know my boss man at where I work, he came by my machine. I said, his name's Wayne. I said, Wayne, I said, I want you to say this with me. He said, okay. He said, say, Jesus, I'm precious to you. He's like, what am I supposed to feel? I was like, peace, was whatever. I said, just see what happens to you. And then I looked back. He's at his office over, leaned back on his toe motor. It looked like he was just chilling out in peace. I was like, yeah, Eddie. So it's, you know, There's a effect to this. This word has anointing that the Lord has put on it. And if you use this, and I'm going to tell you, if you want these tracks, you can go to FBI Art's website. He's got plenty of tracks if you want to do street ministry and do that type of thing. And you can tell me more about that, Art, if you want.
www.fbichrist.com. You can go and you can order up your tracks. I mean, they're not expensive. These are classic tracks. They're well done. You'd probably pay 20 cents a piece for them, but we'll give you 200-300 of those for $10 and ship them to you and pay the shipping too. And I think $10, maybe $10 for shipping and then $10 for the track or something like that. You have to look at the website exactly what they cost, but they're way below our cost of what we give. And, you know, and any of the money we make, we may make $5 or something on that. We use that money to give out, print more tracks and give them away. And I've given out over 1 million of these tracks, and they're effective because, Stan, you know, I've had this track, and I've given it, I've been giving out tracks for 20 years. And this track, I know tracks, you know, is like, if I've probably given over 1 million tracks out. And I've watched tracks do it, and people come to me 2 or 3 years later, and they'll still have that track on their body that I gave them years ago to say, I've got this, now pull it out. Because it has an anointing on, like you said, Stan. It's not just like a read ahead knowledge. It has a power on it, and it's a healing track. It's a salvation track. It's a deliverance track. It's a who you are in Christ track. It's, I call it the anointing, anointed prayer card now. And because it brings an anointing, and so people can get set free. I go up a lot of times. I'll hand it to people, Stan, and I won't even say, so you got any pain in your body? And I say, yeah. And they say, yeah. And I says, hold this, and I won't even let them know what it is, and they'll tell me. I said, where's your pain? They said, it's gone. Where'd it go? I said, I don't know. You know, because people get healed on that. I call it an anointed prayer card, but. But it just sets people free. And that Jesus I'm precious to, I just, this last weekend, I gave it to a gal here on Facebook. When I told her to say that, man, that woman hit the floor like a bang, hit the floor right in the middle of a big conference. I'm like, what are you doing, Art? I didn't do nothing. She said, Jesus, I'm precious to you.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Chuck, yeah. Do you have any questions you like to ask Art?
Sure, man. I've really just been enjoying learning. That's the best part of the show. I know I keep hearing the FBI part, and I never heard the first interview. So for maybe first-time listeners or whatever, kind of explain how you got that FBI logo or whatever.
Okay, well I got it. About 10 years ago, the Lord told me, one day he said to me, he said, hey, Art, and I had a conversation. I heard God say, Art, how many souls would you like to lead before you go to heaven, lead to Christ before you go home? And I said, it came as a thought, and I didn't know I was really talking to God. But I said, interesting thought. Oh, I figured I could lead 1,000 people to Christ before I came to him to heaven. I said, 1,000. And then it came right back to me. Why don't you believe for something beyond you can imagine a dream? I said, interesting thought. Because, and I said, okay, this is really stupid. I believe I'm going to lead 1 million people to Christ. Because I was a bus stop minister, leading one person to Christ a week on the streets. And so I said, I'm going to lead 1 million. So I went to my pastor, I'm going to lead 1 million people to Christ. And everybody thought was nuts. I was 64, in a small church, and one soul once a week. And so I knew I was going to do this. And so I said, well, okay. You know, I was a fire captain for 36 years in Los Angeles. So I said, well, you know, firemen relate to each other. We wear fireman t-shirts, relate. So I saw this t-shirt that said FBI, Firm Leaders in Christ. I said, I'm going to start a ministry, I think. And I put it on. No, I put the shirt, I bought a shirt, a generic shirt. And I was at a bus stop ministering, and a college kid ran by across the street and said, hey, I got to have that shirt. And I was 64 back then, and I said, when's a college kid run me down and want my clothes? So I think I'm going to start a ministry. I'm called the FBI, Firm Believers of Christ, and we're going to wear these T-shirts, and this is how we're going to do it. And I'm going to start an army, and I'm going to lead an army because I know God wants an army of evangelists. So I'm going to start our evangelists. And do this, and so that's how I got it, and it's gone from there. And let me tell you how powerful this shirt is. And people don't understand; they think I'm kind of crazy that I wear it all the time. But I was coming back from Africa this last year, and I get on United Emirates airplane. It's a Muslim airplane, and everybody else they put their regular clothes on, except me. I wore my FBI shirt. I got on the airplane, and the guy meets me in the airplane. This Muslim guy meets me in the airplane. He looks at me kind of funny, and he says, "Are you with the FBI?" I said, "Yeah, I'm with the FBI." And he looked at me funny. He says, I got some for you. He turned around and put me in first class. Gave me a first class seat. And then he turned around and took everybody with me. He took everybody with me and gave them a business class seat.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. We all need to get an FBI shirt, y'all. Get some free seats, man. Free seats for everybody.
Me too, yeah. It takes you places, man. It's kind of weird, but it does, you know. And I've done that all over the world. So it's been a lot of fun, you know.
That's awesome.
That reminds me of Arthur Blessed. He always used to tell them that, yeah, I got permission from the very top. You know, they would say, who are you with? You know, he said, oh, I'm with the guy on the very top. And they always thought they were talking about their boss or whatever. They were talking about God.
Yeah, I love Arthur Blessed. I love Arthur Blessed.
Thank you, Lord, for wisdom and speaking and wit in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you Art, do you have any events coming soon that's going to be in your area?
Right now, we're planning another tent revival. I want to do that. I wanted to do it over Pentecost, but it may be too fast for me. I don't know that to get another tent revival up. Right then, and I'm heading up to Washington at the end of this month, next month, actually this month on the 24th, and there's a friend of mine called Ernest Woods, and I met him at the Pico Vera last year. I spoke at the Pico Vera conference last year. I was one of the speakers, and I activated Ernest, and Ernest had did nothing. And Ernest came in, I grew out legs, brought the presence of God on him that he'd never felt in his life, and then showed him a few things about Christ, got him filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and actually took his mom through a mini deliverance. This man, Ernest Woods, keep your eye on this guy, Stan. Ernest Woods, you might want to do an interview with this guy. And he is absolutely, he calls me every week. And he's been doing stuff and growing, and he's a big black guy and just so fired up for Jesus. He says, Art, since this time, you can't believe. He lives up in Seattle, Washington. Well, he's doing a little mini conference, and I'm going to go up there and speak with his mini conference up there. And he's going to do a conference. He's rented his clubhouse out. He's been telling people that. But he's become a phenomenal man. He's really got some
That's awesome.
He's walking with some good stuff. And so I'm doing that on the 24th, and then I'm doing speaking at several of the churches around here, but I haven't got any actually big event planned right now.
That's awesome. Chuck, can you tell people about our conferences that's coming up?
Yeah, man, well, you scheduled the first one July 11th, and I accidentally put on my, well, I say accidentally, just so I would know to keep the date open, I put Healing Light Conference, and you thought it was Jesus. So we're calling it the Healing Light Conference. It's going to be July 11th. Now, Stan, you'll have to tell everybody the place, because off the top of my head, I can't remember. I know it's in Hickory, and the speakers, we're going to start at 5 and go till about 10 or so. There's going to be no agenda. I know Robert and Erica Jordan are going to be leading worship for us, and we're just going to teach and train, and we're also going to pray for people. We're believing for healing, salvations, deliverances, believing the kingdom of God's going to touch down in Hickory, North Carolina, and just blow that place up.
Amen. And we're also looking at something in South Carolina. Can you talk a little bit about that might be coming up?
My spiritual father is a children's pastor, and the only reason I say that is he's a children's pastor at a nice-sized church, but he's agreed to let us use his children's church, which can hold about 50 or 60 people, and we're going to do the same thing here in Florence, South Carolina. We don't have definite dates. We're looking at the second or third weekend in August, be a Friday night, and then an all-day Saturday. type event where we're going to have the same guy fly in, me and Stan and some of the other guys, and Anthony Roberts, Erica Jordan have agreed to come and lead worship for us, and we'll have a service. And I'm really feeling on this one, Stan and I have talked a lot about impartation, because there's a lot of people in my area here in South Carolina. We're on the eastern coast, not far from Myrtle Beach, where I told Stan the other day, talking on the phone, it's a remnant. There's a group of people here who are hungry for what we do here on the radio show. They don't have a lot of teaching. They don't have a lot of way to tap into it. So it's just a chance to draw that group together. Just give them some sound biblical teaching, some sound doctrine, release the kingdom of God into them, and do a lot like what Mr. Art's doing, just create people who can just go out and just be the kingdom of God on their jobs and at work and school and home and all those places. So I'm really excited about that one as well.
The event in Hickory is going to be at Marketplace Church off of 127 in Hickory, North Carolina. And anybody that's around in this area, you can go down Interstate 321, get off the 127 exit, take a left, go to like a old shopping center. Mighty Dollar's there, and you'll see the church in the same shopping center. Then the event hall's right beside. So right there will be where we're going to be at. But it's a great event hall. It's open. It's open for a type of event. Everybody's going to have a great time. Erica Jordan, all them, is going to be leading worship. It's going to be awesome. I mean, it's going to be off the roof. We're going to have Heath Adams there, Reverend Heath Adams. He's an evangelist that travels all over the world. He's going to be there. There's going to be a lot of unique things. We're going to have healing lines. It's going to really – we're going to really blow that up. And Jacob – Phillips, he's going to be there. He's going to be giving his testimony and telling what the Lord did in his life. And in South Carolina, we're trying to have a Saints Equipped conference. It's a conference that's supposed to be equipping the saints. We're wanting to get people working in the power of God. We want to, you know, get these people activated, get them out in the street, and start doing the Father's business. We're all about the Father's business, and that's what we're wanting to do. We're going to try to get Patty and Dave Ledge there to help train these people up. They do this quite often. I've done some of this too, but these people have been doing this for years and years and years. They're kind of from John G. Lake Ministries. They've been with them. They did training with them. They did training with a lot of ministries, and they really know what they're doing. So we're going to try to bring them in and have them to help us. We're going to have Jacob Phillips. He's going to be at that one too. Robert Hager, Reverend Robert Hager, he's going to be there. He's going to co-host on Wednesday night. So, and me and Chuck is going to be hosting this thing. We're going to be the host of this thing. So it's supposed to be a two-night event. When we get all this put together, we will have an event on the Healing Light Show. We will have it on my page, and we'll start spreading this around to get people excited, on fire, to get working in the power of God. And, I mean, you've already got it. You just got to know, you know, you've got to believe what you have, and these people is going to unite you. You know, they're going to get your flame burning stronger than what it ever was, and you're going to go out there and make a dent in hell for the kingdom of God. And it's going to be amazing. So that's what we got going on.
If I could add one thing to that, the thought come to me too. There's a lot of people who flow in what we do, and the reason I call it is a remnant is, there's a lot of people, I call it the island of misfit toys. It's just like you can't find the people like you. So it's a chance just to get together with a bunch of people just like you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to push you. We're going to back you. It's not, you know, y'all come hear us and we'll teach y'all how. We know you're doing it and we know you're out there, but just come get encouraged, man, and we'll push you and find you. And it's coming together as a family as well.
Amen. Amen. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have Dave and Patty Ledge on to next Saturday. He's going to be talking about his two trips to heaven. It's going to be amazing. He's going to be talking about different things he saw in heaven. He's been working in supernatural ever since he was, 6 years old. He was born with the Holy Spirit in him. This is unique. He's a unique guy, but he was born with the Holy Spirit in him. Kind of biblical. It's kind of unique. And he's had all type of unique experiences. I mean, you can listen to the show we had last week, but, I mean, he had nobody in his life really understood him. His parents didn't like him. The Lord was guiding him through his life, got him through his hard times, and he had some unique experiences. And this guy's going to be telling about his heavenly experiences, and it's going to really bring more people to Christ and let them see what's going on there and see that heaven does exist. It's not just a fairy tale that somebody made up as a real thing. So it's going to be unique. And listen to our show, I'll say, next Wednesday. We're going to be ministering, as always, at 8 o'clock. And we're going to be, you know, on here next Saturday morning at 9:30. And I want to thank you, Art, for coming on today. Thank you, Art.
It was my honor. I love being with you, Stan. I love what you're doing, too.
Yeah. It's kind of awesome. We just had a event in Raleigh, North Carolina with Art Thomas. He was down here. We was hanging out with him last month or so.
Oh, he's an awesome man of God. I mean, I really love Art Thomas, man.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy, man. And he's going to be on Sid Roth pretty soon. We actually went to the Sid Roth studios and taped his interview. And he's going to be on Sid Roth's show pretty soon when they air it. So be looking forward to that.
Well, I will too, because he's really just an amazing guy. And he's an awesome man. God, I love his stuff.
Yeah, he's got some good stuff, man. But
He really.
It's always an honor to have you on. And, you know, we'll probably have you on again in the future, because I just love having you on the show. It's awesome. And
about me, you know, well, I don't fit in everywhere, but I'm different. I'm kind of a different type of minister, but you know, I fit in somewhere in this whole thing, you know, and I just love it, you know. So, and I love you guys, you know, and I just love what you guys are doing too. So it's awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we like different people. We're different too, so we all fit into the misfit toys for the Lord. So we're all good, you know.
World of misfit.
We're perfect in God's eyes, and He's using us all for the same purpose. And we're blowing up some streets that some other folks ain't. So you know. That's the ones he's always got was the misfits, because, you know, the Pharisees wouldn't really do what we're doing. The misfits had to do it, so we're actually helping to build the kingdom of God. You know, he's got a big bearing on our lives and really using us to extreme measures. And really, the other people is really the misfits. We ain't. We're actually normals. So.
Well, you're probably right, because you know what we think are misfits, God seems to like. I mean, He's always picking some, you know, some different type of people that nobody else has figured to make it anywhere.
And He loves us all very much. He loves all of you very much too, out there in the audience. And I'm going to tell you, Lord Jesus, He loves you all so preciously. He did so much for each and every one of y'all. He took so much for every one of y'all. And I'm telling you, you know, build that relationship up with the Lord. And, you know, if you got, you know, stick to Bible. Stick to Bible. Don't stick to whatever your church is, you know, church is trying to grill into you. Stick to Bible. Bible is what's going to lead you. Your Word of God is what's going to lead you. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you in your Word of God. And that's what we was trying to say last Wednesday, is that the Holy Spirit is going to teach you in that Word of God. He's going to lead you in that Word of God. So you need all of that. And, you know, we all love you here. We invite you to come back to this show anytime you want to. We're on, you know, I've got archives. Listen to on archives. I ask everybody to follow the show on Blog Talk, and I ask everybody to just – go ahead and like the Healing Life page, and just let us know what you think about the show, how the show has blessed you, to that measure, and, you know, just let us know how we're doing. It's very awesome. But I want to say God bless every one of y'all, and we will see you Wednesday night. Thank you, Art, again.
All right. God bless you, champions. God bless.
God bless you.
Would you take the nails from his head?
Well, the weight on Juliet Z, the father would not see. Reasons have finally come to be to show the depth of his grace. Bloom a very sinner race. He knew that this was why he came. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? And we just don't know. And the veil was torn, so we could have this open door. And all these things have finally been complete. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his head? raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom